The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yo, what's going on? Happy New Year, people.
Happy New Year.
What's going on, big man?
In
Happy New Year.
Decade. Yes. My guy, my back guy. In the studio.
I like that. All fun and vibes. You know what? Next couple of weeks, got to put a little intro into the show. You know what I mean? We get the warm up. You're there playing on your phone. I'm there sipping on some juice on a laptop.
Come
so
on,
cover that
know,
up. But we're back again. 2020. Listen, people, everyone that's been listening to the show, for the last couple of years now, much appreciated. I hope you all had a great Christmas and a great New Year's, obviously.
No, 100%, lots of drink. Man. A lot of drink, a lot of fun.
A lot of food. And then you work into January to work all of that off. But, you know, we closed off pretty early in December. A lot of people texting me, Coach, what's going on?
Same here, man.
I want to talk about Badu Jack.
For the friends, for the family.
Javonta Davis.
You know, yeah.
But listen, we had to do what we needed to do and let you guys kind of wait and build that anticipation. So we're back. Raps on TV. And this year, I kid you not, it's going to be a big year.
Big.
But this show, there's so much to start with. But really, we're going to start with the press conference that took place yesterday. Wilder versus Fury 2, the rematch. Press conference taking place in LA. The fight will take place in Las Vegas on February the 22nd. Announced during a Christmas break. Fantastic news. Also, we've got news on Josh Taylor. After you may have seen one of my videos, I said that he was the fighter of the year. Calling fighter of the year, and what does he go and do? Signs with Top Rank.
And he's trainer, man. So, well, we don't know.
Well, we're going to hear the politics, and you know, some of you lawyers out there might be able to give us a bit of the lowdown
please.
On how that contract
call in
went.
Lawyers.
But definitely looking forward to that. Then we've got expectations for 2020. So we want to know, guys, if you're calling in or if you're watching this on Facebook and you're going to comment on the post, let us know the types of fights you want to see, what you expect of certain fighters as well. I expect this to be a big year of boxing, and it's kicking off that way. Over Christmas, we also saw in the new year, we also saw Spence versus Crawford have their Twitter bout. You saw Crawford openly online say, listen, I'm going to call you Spence. And it looked like that phone call took place. And Crawford showed that, to be fair, he's more than a real one. And we're also going to then touch on the end of 2019. Obviously, we missed a couple of shows and there were a couple of fights as well. So anybody that wants to talk on that, definitely want to hear your comments. But definitely got to say, number one thing, massive respect to everyone that's dialed in, commented, shared the post, or shared or liked or subscribed to us on any of the platforms. We absolutely love it. But I'm here with my man, co-host, Mr. Sam Dare. What's going on, big man?
What's happening, people?
Good man's been traveling, Nigeria,
Rwanda,
Ghana.
You know, everywhere, man.
Okay, what
do you know what? Going back home was amazing, man. Even got to do a few runs and speaking to a few people about like the boxing and, you know, going back to Africa and hearing about the scene and how everyone's so on boxing now. You're seeing Joshua plastered everywhere. You know, you know, you got fans loving Joshua. You got fans out there hating Joshua. You know, you got the best of both worlds out there. So don't think that, you know, Nigeria just loves Joshua, because from what I'm hearing, I've heard very controversial things.
Okay.
And
looking,
you know, I'll be sharing them as we go in.
Yeah, but, no, definitely looking forward
generally
to that.
It's been good.
So guys, don't forget the number to call is 01506-353-955. Don't forget that 01506-353-955. And you can watch us live on Facebook if you are tuning in, and live on Spreaker. And for those guys that are going to be watching in the future and watching this show, please remember to share, the like button and the subscribe button. Activate those because it's free. It's not going to cost you goddamn penny.
Free, man. We free out here, man.
And you know what? Even as I'm saying it, you know what? I think what this year is going to represent for us as boxing fans and people in general, I think it's going to represent tension. You know why I'm going to tell you that? Because what, 10, 11 days ago, Trump decided to do his thing with Iran, tried to do the boogie down block dance.
God.
And then what, 5 days ago, we had Stormzy versus Wiley.
Then we had all this beef with the royal family.
The royal family. And then we got Spence versus Crawford. My God.
Yeah,
it's nonstop action this year. But no better place to start, really. I think, you know, in my opinion, probably one of the most anticipated heavyweight rematches in terms of both fighters being undefeated, really. In a long time, and Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury.
100%.
Press conference took place yesterday. Fight was announced, for those of you, I'm sure you know by now, but for those of you that may not remember, fight was announced a couple of days after Christmas. A little bit of tension, people saying, is this fight taking place? You only got 6 weeks to do it, blah, blah, blah. But to be fair to them on the US side, it looks like they know that, you know, this fight is not necessarily as hard a sell in terms of the boxers as the first one. If you look at the first one, they did New York, they did LA, they did London. It was open to the public. This one, they've done one in LA and it was closed behind closed doors. So I think they know that the fight is at the level now whereby numbers are going to be high, right? Bob Arum is saying 100 mil potentially. So
I think that's a stretch. Bob Arum is Hall of Famer. What?
100 mil? I don't think you don't think this fight could generate 100 mil for the fighters?
100 mil?
I think so, bro.
I don't know, because Fury's, as much as he's the Gypsy King and powerful guy, I don't think he's got that X factor to be able to sell out stadiums like...
Okay.
We've got a cash cow in our man Joshua. He's able to do that.
I don't think he's Joshua's level.
No, he's not. So I don't think it can generate 100. Maybe 80 million?
I do. I won't lie.
What are we talking? The rights? Are we talking?
Like, just the I'm just saying.
Easy.
I'm saying. Yeah.
But if we're talking just standalone in terms of numbers,
I don't think their purse as individuals.
I don't think they could do a mil pay per view, Vice. I don't think so.
I think
maybe 600,000 absolute stretch.
Yeah.
No. Wilder maybe Wilder's got, but he's got a bit more hype now. So maybe let's say I think just about the millions. But that's me in an ideal world. But
yeah,
I don't think they've got it. They just don't have it. In fact, they ain't got the corporate backing. I don't think they've got it.
Okay,
I generally don't, and I refuse. And yeah, Mayweather didn't have really any corporate backing, but you know, Mayweather's Mayweather because he's a self-promoter. No one talks a good game like Mayweather does because he walks it because of his money and his outcome. But
fair enough, you know.
And he's a good boxer, technically. And he went from being Pretty Boy Floyd to now being, you know, Floyd, defense is my offense. So,
I mean, look, I won't lie to you. I think this 100 mil, I think Fury can.
Oh, 100 mil is easy.
I think Fury probably sells it better than Wilder.
Not doing PPV? Nah.
I don't know.
Nah, they're a million pay-per-view guys.
And so, yeah, so for me, I think like that's the first thing. But anyway, we've seen the press conference has gone live. It just reminds me, we've seen the press conference has gone live. What's the word I'm looking for? Dire sounds very critical.
That was disappointing.
It was a
disappointment, but...
I think that's the main mind games starting, because I think you're right, it was disappointing, but I think a lot of that energy was from Fury. I think, let's be honest, we were waiting for Fury to kind of articulate and take the piss and bring out the banter, and I think that's his energy, and I think he wasn't able to feed on the energy of the fans. And I think as an output, so in terms of input of the energy of the fans, the output, he was like, well, what am I doing? Because everything, the way he spoke, it was like, okay, whatever. Like, there's no one to impress. I don't know, that's how I felt. How I felt. So I just think this fight, as much as we know it's going to be what goes on in the ring, 100%, I think the mind games are really, really going to be taking the precedent, because
definitely.
Fury's trying to work brain with Wilder.
But there is a lot on the line here. Mm. And, you know, I think there's a lot of anxiety built up for a lot of both men because of what happened in the last fight in LA. You got to look at things from Tyson's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, I've got the potential to be the kingpin of Britain here.
Mm.
You know, that's a big step, especially since Joshua lost. He's like, I've got the chance to be the kingpin of Britain,
yeah,
or the world even. And you got Deontay Wilder knowing that, you know, he's only got that one thing in his locker, and you know, like he was on the show saying that, you know, who got a few callers that called in and told him how they felt. He knows. He knows that he's got to do and deliver that one thing, but you know, Fury's a fitter Fury. The Fury that fought him then will not be the Fury of now.
Mm-hmm.
better, more mature, and more fitter guy in tune, new trainer. That'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I don't really think, but I think Davidson served the purpose. Yeah. And his purpose was to help Tyson, vice versa, Tyson to help Davidson get off the ground and running. So it'll be interesting to see the whole setup. And I think there's just a lot of anxiety going on, you can tell, because there's no fans there. Don't know whether that's a setup or not. I personally lean on the side that it's more of a setup. Tyson's just got a lot, but it's just so boring the way they're going back and forth. You know, Deontay was just saying the same old shit. Like, excuse my language. I just didn't enjoy. Didn't enjoy it, Deontay. Like, Deontay, what's going on? You need to talk more. I was expecting you to bash Joshua. I was expecting you to bash Dillon White. I was expecting you to say after I beat Tyson, none of you guys can ever say anything to me.
So I think the Joshua and Dillon White, I think is they're not relevant in this thing. I think it's more about his. In my opinion, I think it's more what he directs at Fury, and I think, you know, if I was him, I would work on the fact that, you know, okay, Fury's definitely had depression, his issues of mental health, but I would probably take it a step back and I would be focusing on the fact that he won the belt and he struggled with alcohol and he struggled with drugs.
No, 100%.
And he let himself down. And if I was Wilder, I would have expected him to probably throw that out a bit more and just try to do something to get under his skin. But look, I think the key thing was, is that this fight has been announced. It's looking like it's going ahead. And I'm going to ask you straight up, bro, like, how does this fight play out?
I'm going to be honest. It plays out... Everyone says, you know, you say two ways, but I think the Gypsy King's taking it.
Okay.
I think he's taking it. I think it's the golden era for British boxing now. I think America are long gone after this is taken.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that Wilder will have the locker in him to knock him out.
Yeah.
But I feel that Fury will just be so fitter and more physically conditioned
mm-hmm.
that he'll be able to tolerate Wilder's power.
Yeah.
We've seen he's got the strong chin mm-hmm. and that's taken that big only asset that, you know, so-called Deontay has.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see him in the gym and he's sparring. It'll be interesting to hear who his sparring partners are.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
So I know Victor Ortiz is one of them. Sorry, Luis Ortiz.
Is one of his sparring partners. Yeah. That's interesting because...
That's very interesting.
Because Luis Ortiz, I wouldn't say he's Fury, but he can imitate parts of Fury in terms of the awkwardness. And
probably the height and the range, clearly he can't. But if you're talking skill set, I think he's up there in terms of what he could be doing to sort of like take himself.
Most definitely. But I want to see what his other sparring partners are saying, besides Luis Ortiz, because the thing is, we can't hide away the fact that they just fought and he lost in emphatic fashion again. Gum shield in the mouth,
But I guess what the thing is with sparring partner, it is really a weird one because I know Fury's brought in George Fox, so he's taking in Don Charles' son. So Don Charles' son has been with him in the sparring camp for the last week. Then there was another new heavyweight that's probably made his debut in he made his debut last year, but he's no more than three fights in. Fury's brought him in, and there was one more guy. So with the sparring, if we're totally going to be honest, I think sometimes we can't put too much emphasis on it for a Wild Fury.
No, because
we know he's already got the skill
set. Sparring.
I think for Wilder, it works in his benefit because he's able to learn. I think with Fury, technically, I don't think he's going to learn off a lot of people.
He's technically sound.
He's working on power.
If he's working on power, I think he needs to change up his nutritionist. Mm-hmm. He needs to change up his physical condition. Then I think he needs to adopt more.
I think you mentioned that in the press conference.
You see, with Joshua's camp, the problem is Joshua was too power. He focused too much on the physique and the core and the strength, and not really working on the technicality. I think maybe not. It's going to happen, but Jamie Reynolds, Jamie Velocity, who's Joshua's S&C coach, should teach Tyson Fury a few things, and I think that will really get him fit and strong and really in good shape. But it's very exciting. You know, they're the only heavyweights that have, you know, got that undefeated status. Even though everyone says Deontay Wilder lost and all this, but even I was saying to one of the members, shout out, I forgot your name, but he was on telling me that, look, Deontay Wilder had a big fat L on his name. Well, no, he didn't, because it still said D.
It doesn't matter.
He still said D. No one's going to care. When it all says and done, it's going to be a D by his name. So,
And I think also it's that other thing. It's like a lot of people, I've had this debate where they're like, you know, he got knocked down in the 12th, but he got up and won a round. I said, well, actually, he didn't. He's like, yes, he did. I said, look, you only win the round. I said, if you know the technical element, you only win the round if you put the opponent back on the floor.
No, of course.
And then it's
exactly
a draw. So even though we know Fury may have landed more shots after that knockdown than Wilder did, At the end of the day, he didn't put him down.
Statistics can be very deceiving, though. Statistics can be very deceiving. We've seen so many times that it doesn't matter. If you land more punches and they're not really affecting the man and not really making, you know, judges, it's all down to subjectivity and interpretation in boxing. It's not down to quantity. There's no way you can quantify a win. It's all down to who was better in the ring, who stood up the more, you know. Do you know what?
Question. I have to just ask you this question. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, bro. Can Fury knock out Wilder?
I'll be very surprised, but he's a heavyweight, so he naturally does have the power.
That's a very diplomatic answer, bro.
He naturally does have the power, as he's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
But I can't see Fury knocking him out. I can't.
Yeah.
I personally can't, but if I heard it, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But actually, it would. It would. Yeah, it would.
Surprise. I'm not going to lie.
I'll take that back. It would, because I don't see Fury as someone that knocks someone out. If you look at his knockouts and the people he's knocked out, the last person he knocked out, he didn't knock down Tuzo, did he? No, he didn't.
He stopped him more or less. The last guy he stopped was Schwartz, but I don't know how credible he was.
Yeah, but Schwartz is not. I don't count. The reason why I don't count Schwartz is I said Chisora, because Chisora's the last.
But Chisora, he didn't stop it.
Bar Klitschko. I'd say even before, I'm not sure if Christian Hammer was before or after, but that was the kind of person that I thought kind of rocked him.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised. And if he has, I think that new team he should stick with until he retires, because that was the team that's able to get him to the physical condition to be able to knock him out.
Yeah.
So, like I said, just really, really exciting. I'm interested to hear what the fans want to say about that when we go live.
Mm.
But, I'm really jealous you're going out there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. That's all done and dusted now.
I mean, you know, I can't wait.
I think fight week is going to be mental.
No, definitely.
I want to see how many British fans are going to fly over for that, because it's Vegas. So obviously,
compare that to what the fans are saying to when Hatton flew over for the Mayweather bout.
Yeah.
Because everyone was saying that was phenomenal. Like,
yeah, I think
that like was. People was like, I had a fan say to me when I was in Nigeria, shout out to Quasimundo. He was saying to me that Hatton, he thinks Fury is the next Hatton in terms of popularity.
British fans are gonna fly
following
over for that because it's Vegas.
And
so
I wanna compare that. I just don't see it like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't think Fury's of the Hatton level. And it's weird because
he's not. He should be.
He should be. But Hatton really galvanized, whether it was from his local fan base.
He was a football fan as well. He was a big football head, man. He was a big City fan.
Yeah, so I think that maybe that's what helped him. But I just think when you look at the numbers, maybe what boxing was, the type of fight. But this is just as huge. But, I mean, I can tell you, when I went to Vegas in 2015, I remember them still talking about all the Hatton fans then. You jump in a taxi.
Yeah, but they were diehard for bars. Ricky, because Ricky would get in front and, you know, look how he made.
Yeah, but it's still big, bro. Listen, bro, the amount of fans he took over, like, he was
30,000 plus. That's a big deal.
That's a big achievement.
Was he a match room for? No, he was Frank Warren boy, wasn't he?
Even at the time, in the golden days. Yeah, even then, I still don't even think he was signed to Frank Warren at that stage when he did the Mayweather fight.
Who was he signed? Was it Hennessy? No, Hennessy didn't have business.
This guy up north, man, I forget his name. There's a guy up north from Sheffield. He was affiliated with him.
Oh, really? Maybe he managed him. But
with Wilder Fury, like I said, I don't think I see the knockout. I don't see Wilder necessarily even getting to a points decision. So this is why I'm just like, this fight is mad intriguing for me. And I'm going to say why. And I have to always say this. Listen, the first fight, it was close in my opinion. Although I probably was half happy with the draw, I said, in my opinion, watching it live, I gave the fight to Fury.
Yeah.
So I felt Fury won. I've watched it back. I still say Fury won.
No, Fury did win. Fury did win.
But it was close. But it was close. But he didn't snatch the belt, but it was close.
He didn't snatch it like he did.
So, and when you watch it again, I think there's a lot of... They've both got improvements to make. I think the number one thing Wilder needs to be working on is patience. Because it seems to be nailing down the timing a bit better. Whether people want to agree, the Brazil and Ortiz knockouts, in my opinion, showed that. Great timing. So I think he needs to be patient. I think the other thing he needs to do, and this, again, it's just my opinion, I think he needs to let Fury walk onto him. Because I think in the first fight, he was hunting Fury down too much. And it half made it easy for Fury, because Fury just fights on the back foot. He likes fighting on the back foot, and he's able to throw that jab.
That's Fury's thing, running into the centre of the ring.
Ambidextrous, he's switch it in.
Cool.
So I think Wilder just has to do less this fight, in a weird way, similar to the Ortiz fight, do less. And let Fury take all the action, because no matter what, you're not going to outpoint him. So what you want to do is, same with Ortiz, you want to get him to a position where you think he's dropping his guard, or as Wilder sees the angle to land the shot, and then you try. The interesting thing, though, is will he be able to land that shot and keep him down?
Do you know what? He won't keep him down because how Fury is.
Yeah.
Just the kind of nature he's got. And look at the punch he recovered.
Yeah.
That he recovered from. That was solid. Everyone thought he was out. He was sleeping. He got up.
I thought he was out.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, do you know what? That upset me because now, at that time, I was thinking Wilder's literally taking over Joshua. Like, yeah. Wilder is the man, like, because he dethroned Fury. Because if you work out who beat who and whatnot. But I'll be interested to see Tyson's Fury's awkwardness because watching Wilder, and I remember one of my friends was actually talking about Wilder and will say, if you look at Fury, if he takes away and Fury does the awkward left to right movement and just the constant lateral movement, especially in the pocket, Wilder won't be able to. Wilder's most effective when he's coming in on the outside.
Yeah.
He's not an inside fighter. He's an outside fighter. He likes to go on the back shoulder and go to 1-2
because
the 1-2 is always his knockout. Yeah. And once he gets you with the right hand, it's then he follows up with an inside range and then he goes in the pocket. But any boxing fan know, once you're in the pocket, it's... And the fight has already been clipped. You're kind of free winnings. You know, you can kind of pick and choose your shots and take your time. And I think if Fury doesn't allow him to have that time in the pocket and also doesn't allow him to get that shot off, which he did for a number of rounds, you know, when he was unfit and he was coming back from, you know, what he was doing, imagine what he could do now. So these are all the questions that you want to see. But I think the way Fury wins the fight, and he's going to win it on points, which is how I feel, he's going to do the lateral movement, the making it awkward, just absolutely frustrating Wilder.
Same.
Like similar to what Canelo and the Floyd Canelo masterclass. Cause Floyd
Floyd, I think Floyd was, I think you're looking at, in my opinion, I think you're looking at the Fury Klitschko, a low activity fight. Yeah. I think the Fury Klitschko fight, they threw about 70 punches in total throughout the whole 12 rounds. I think you're looking at low activity, but understanding that Fury's doing what he needs to do to get the job done.
No, of course, it won't be... It won't be exciting from a boxing masterclass, and you won't say this is the best technical boxing bout you've seen for years. You just say it was very dramatic because the fans, how Wilder is, how Fury is, and how what's at stake, which is the golden belt, which is probably the best belt in boxing.
Best way to start 2020?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Without a shadow. I'll be interested. I want to see the undercard as well being built up. I want to...
So there's talk of Jarrell Miller potentially signing with Top Rank and being on the undercard.
I understand that. I'm in mixed emotions about that because when a guy's injected...
You're sensitive, bro.
No, but when a guy's injected something up his bum...
I'm joking. Even I sound wrong saying
when he's injected something up his bum... shout out to Dean, who's a frequent caller of ours. When he was on LTV, I literally almost spat my drink out when he was saying, you know, he's been juicing everything. Like, he needed to inject up his butt. It was so fun. So you should change it from Miller to Joe the Juice.
But yeah, so I hear you on that. But like I said, I think I've been hearing that Miller's going to be on the undercard.
Yeah.
I've heard somebody else, another name. I mean, I don't anticipate the undercard to be great. The reason why, I always feel, especially with Top Rank, when the head of main event is like so big, they just water down the rest of it. So then it saves money. If you look at it from an operational expense, they should be bringing on their big draws. They should be bringing out Crawford. They should be bringing out Teofimo Lopez.
You know, maybe even on the undercard, though, but I know he's not going to go on the undercard.
Who?
Taylor.
Josh Taylor?
Yeah, a little warm-up. Little warm-up to the US fans.
It's too soon, I think.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I still think he's in league. I think he's tied up in too much litigation that he won't even be able to make it out. But
so you hit the nail on the head there. So let's go straight to that point. Listen, so last year, you guys may have seen a video. Shout out to Daryl from the Boxing Lowdown.
Big Daryl.
I fucked up with him and we did a bit of a 2019 recap. We spoke about our fighters in the year.
I was very jealous looking from Nigeria.
We were jealous watching you watching it from Nigeria.
Yeah. But
I said Josh Taylor was my fighter of the year for 2019. And the reasons I said that was purely down to, I said, look, when I look at it from a competition standpoint, I feel that he's probably faced the best within his division, not just from a pro grade. You look at the guy, Baryshnik, that he took on in the World Boxing Super Series.
Look at
him. And I'll be honest, like, I'm not affiliated to the Sauerland guys at all, but I do like that. I love the World Boxing Super Series format because it means if you are the best and they bring all the best together, like, you're going to fight the best. And he signed up to that. And at the end of the day, he got two belts at the end of it. One of them is the Ring Magazine. He's got the Muhammad Ali Trophy, whatever that means. But I think he put it all on the line.
That's a beautiful trophy.
And some of the guys were undefeated as well. So, like, for me, I'm like, rah, you know what? He's taking some guys' O's. I think we've got to give him big credit for that.
Taylor's always been the serious one. He just hasn't... He's never... My big problem with him is that And the questions surrounding him is he marketable in the boxing world? Is he able to really elevate himself to be commercially viable to get the big paydays that he needs? That was the question surrounding it. But obviously, the WBSS is obviously paying very well. We've seen that from other fighters. But
yeah,
Taylor is... I think he's up there for fighter. I think fighter of the year for what he's been doing. Even from when I started, I took seriously when he was in his amateur background and his amateur career followed that. But I think it's when it's the way he beat and broke down tactically Ahara Davis is when I said to everyone, watch, because as much as Ahara talks and does what he does, he's not a dead boxer.
Sorry guys, we had a slight technical issue, so some of the calls might have went down, but we're back up, so apologies if you missed anything.
Okay. OD is a solid fighter. He is really tough.
But it made him quit.
And he made him quit.
Don't forget Postal as well. Exactly. This was before World Boxing Super Series.
This is what I'm saying. So that's when I saw him in Scotland and I saw him take him out, it was, you know, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He rises to the occasion and...
And that was my thing. It's like, and then you look at the fighters that he beat, that he got... essentially, he took away their defeat. Undefeated their own.
No, 100%.
So I put him up there. So yeah, to see that he's now signed to top rank. Like I said to somebody, I said, look, I like the McGuigans. I've never really had. I definitely like Shane. Barry McGuigan was a good fighter, but I do like Shane. I like what he's done with a lot of the fighters he's worked with. George Groves.
Yeah, no, totally. I was going to say, if it weren't for Shane's analysis, I don't think Josh and Shane's coach. I don't think Josh would be as good as he is. No, he's not.
Can't say that, bro, because there's better coaches.
Shane is very influential.
Yeah, but there's better coaches than him.
Yeah, but he's very good at the man management.
Yeah, but there's better man management coaches than Abra.
Who's going to go to?
He could go to Freddie Roach, man. The rumors are he's going to go Freddie Roach.
Yeah, but I don't think Freddie Roach has got it no more, man.
Bruv, that's the opinion. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say Freddie Roach is the great because I do think he's slightly overrated, but like, Freddie Roach is a good coach. He's got the experience.
Andre Berto? What did he do with Andre Berto?
He wasn't with Andre Berto, bro.
He was at a time. Was it Andre Berto? No, it wasn't. Who was he fighting? Pacquiao, but he was also fighting another fighter, but I don't think he was.
But my point is, with Taylor, I think this is a good look for him. I think you've got to look at it on the basis of top rank. They've got that affiliation with ESPN. So that means straight away, the US market, bang, you're going to get marketed.
No, Freddie Roach is next level. Yeah.
If you look at it from Cyclone, from my understanding, Cyclone have got a dealing with Channel 5. ESPN, Channel 5. Who are you going to pick, my brother? Right, so we don't have to say nothing else.
Of course.
So you already know.
You got to understand. Also,
so for me, I think it's not even... And then, listen, I'm not even going to... I hate that saying there's no smoke without fire. I'm not saying this, but I'm like, listen... McGuigan's have a reputation from Groves to Frampton, and now this guy from a contractual perspective.
No, it's not a good look at all.
So I'm not saying there's anything, but it's not a good look.
They've got some type of problem.
There's a court case that they're embroiled in, and I think that's probably the pivot he's tried to use to say, listen, you guys are embroiled in a court case, slandering my name, I don't know.
What
I think the big deal is, he could have still signed to top rank and been with Cyclone Promotions. He could have still kept them on. So I think the fact he's just dissed them... cut them out and not had a conversation. I think that's where
he's... No, but you know what? This stems back to, I think, his Big Barry. I think it's his problem.
Yeah.
I think it's his problem because I don't think Shane doesn't want to be in his predicament.
Mm.
But you go back to the situation when your dad is kind of controlling your future, I feel like Shane's dad is not going to be a death of him, but it's going to be like...
I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing because
it's him. He needs to cut ties with his dad.
Yeah.
But we say that, but look at the father-son bond. We look at the Eubanks and what Senior's done with Eubank and what he's done. But Eubanks kind of separated from his dad a little bit. From the outside looking in.
But not on any tension. But I get what you're saying. I think you're right. You know what the thing is? You're probably not wrong what you're saying. I think the difference is Eubanks not looking to get into management. I think you're right. Barry McGuigan maybe needs to make a decision wants to do with Cyclone Promotion.
Who else has got on the roster?
Nobody.
All the good guys he's had gone.
That's what I'm
saying. So what does that say about you and Cyclone and what you do and all the stuff that Eddie was saying back in the day when we didn't want O'Hara to fight Taylor, what he was saying about Cyclone and what they were doing and whatnot. He said that was probably going to be the biggest fight they would ever have.
Yeah, and even it's funny because you think Cyclone obviously put the money up to make sure that Taylor got that OD fight. But this is boxing. It's a short career. And I also say this. Look, Taylor didn't start his career. I think if Taylor had been an amateur with McGuigan, and like Shane and Barry, then I might have been a bit more empathetic to the cause. But I'm like, listen, this is boxing. If you don't cross your T's, dot your I's, cross your T's, dot your I's.
Yeah, no, of course. We're just lucky.
Guys are going to be out there. I think probably the funniest thing, even though it's not purely humorous, is that I'm sure everybody would have thought this would have been Eddie Hearn. The fact that it was top rank and Bob Arum just came in like left
field. That's why you got to rate the Hearns. No problem like that. They don't get any promotional problems like that. They don't actually really. You look at, okay, you could argue, say,
Hearns
Brampton.
Hearns got rated promoter of the year. I think Hearns a G.
No. He deserves it, man. Look what he's done. As much as Hearn is Hearn, Hearn is.
And as much as Hearn gasses.
Yeah, look at him. Delivering, man. That's how I like him. I'm making people richer in the lottery, as he likes to say.
Quick question though. What do you make? And you know, we've got to shout this out. So actually, we'll say this last question. So Dillian Whyte came out with this rumours of Deontay Wilder getting knocked out in sparring with Klitschko. What's your thoughts on that?
He ain't gonna lie.
Okay, but what's your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are I see it. Okay. I see it when he was talking about Wilder.
Yeah,
and yeah, I see it. Mm. I see it because he was even mentioning. You know he doesn't like to mention Joshua, yeah? Mm. He wants to have his own solo career and be in his own lane. And the fact he was mentioning how him and Joshua were having his bust-ups and that, and they were all in the same camp and they all kind of know each other.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Wilder, don't forget before, Wilder was making like, you don't really know Dilla like that and all this. Mm. So, you know, Klitschko would always get the next stars in his camp, which is why he was always ahead of the game for so long.
Yeah.
I do believe that happened. Maybe to the extent that he was out cold, maybe not.
Mm.
Or maybe he needed some time to recover.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. It just shows that he's a human and he's able to get knocked down and he's able to lose. And to be honest, I don't think he deserves a loss, but it won't be a bad thing if he does lose because his style of boxing isn't the style we want to teach the young cats coming through.
100%.
So for him to lose, it will kind of be good for the culture, but not good for the culture at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be good for the... good is probably wrong. I understand what you mean for the sport, but probably him more... as like what he is and what he's doing and where he's what he's trying to do.
No,
maybe obviously that's clearly not good for him. But I get what you mean in terms of the sport because look, no matter what, you're looking at guys that are being taught the fundamentals, X, Y, Z, and then
and he's like, the guy doesn't even say he does cardio, man. He just swims. Yeah. Like, come
on. That's cardio. But that's the thing. But this is the thing though, bro. This is cardio. And you know what they call that, right? They call that social proof. And what it is that when somebody says you should do something and everyone just follows without questioning it. And so I'm reading this book at the moment. And shout out, you know what? I'm going to have to... Big up. Let me quickly just run this up. Sorry, guys.
No, it has to be done, man. We're authentic. We're the real.
Man, so just so you know, you see it there. Tyson Fury's book, Behind the Mask.
Yeah, I need to get that.
Cop that. Go and get that at all your good bookstores.
Make sure he signs it when you're in Vegas.
That's a fucking good point. That's a good point,
make sure he signs
it, man.
Make sure he signs the raps as well, man.
Yeah, I want to say to Raps on TV, sign that. So yeah, so basically, guys, I'm reading this other book. It's called Football Data and Hackers and how they're looking at information and data and turning it into making use of it in the non-conventional way. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know what? All this stuff that they say, oh, you've got to do it this way. This is the textbook. Throw away the textbook, bro. We're living in an age where, like, I'm not saying try your own thing, but if you've got a belief, like, go with it. So he might just swim. Bro, swimming is hard, bro. I bet you could run for longer than you can swim.
Definitely, but we're talking like I haven't completed a marathon, you know, so...
But exactly. No, so I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You completed a marathon, so you can run. You're a strong runner.
Yeah, but I'm saying that you
could probably run for longer than you could swim in terms of...
100%.
The intensity that it takes.
But swimming is a lot of intense. And I understand it, but the way he was kind of laughing at people that were swimming...
I know,
I just kind of thought...
And I think that was a running, flaw, 100%.
So I just thought, like, okay... maybe you're just a gifted athlete because you used to play American football before and you used to do a lot of other sports before. Like,
I'm anointed by God.
That was so accurate.
I was listening to the press conference yesterday. I was like, yo, I heard him say this.
Crazy. What do you make of his outfit, though?
Oh, his outfit was fine, man. It was Wild Fury, bro.
Do you know what?
He just wore a flat blazer.
Yeah, but you see Wilder, though, like... I don't know. I just think he's a bit... I don't think he's all that... Like, shout out to him because he really does mess with raps and he likes the movement. But I don't know. He's just... you don't know what Wilder you're going to get on what day.
Are you talking about when entering the fight or are you talking about like...
Everything. The whole of him. He's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah, the outfits were mad. Like, the Ortiz outfit was mad. I don't even know what they called it.
What was that about?
But... I think they will do that. But like even Fury's yesterday, bro. Like, come on, off-key shirt, off-key blazer, off-key trousers. But anyway, listen, guys. I was going to do that drum roll. Da, 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 the moment you've been waiting for. Listen, guys. I can see we've got our regular callers on, and I love that to hear that from this first show of the year. What we're going to do is we're going to give two rounds. So that's going to be 6 minutes. So if you want to take the whole 6 minutes, that's your choice. If you do not, That's your choice.
But also, what you're saying, if it's good, we go on for the extra round. So, you know, you've got to come with a good, good.
It might be. So, listen, the man's been in the line. I can see the number. Uncle Benga, we are coming out to you. Happy New Year.
Hey, hi, guys.
How are you doing? Happy New Year.
How you doing, Uncle? You well?
Happy New Year. Yes, I'm good. Yeah. Okay, let's go for it. before Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, I want to give a big shout out to my man, Javonta Tank Davis.
Okay. Rap, yeah.
Your guy from earlier.
I noticed some people criticize him, but I thought he was fantastic against Gamboa, yeah. who's an Olympic gold medalist. You know, there's one man who hurt Crawford.
Yep.
And he hurt him and he put him down and messed him up his leg, did him in the middle rounds, and then closed the show. Mm. And the sellout crowd in Atlanta had their money's worth. So I noticed some people criticized him, but like I've been telling you guys for a while now, both Teofimo Lopez and my man Tank Davis will stop the Lomachenko bandwagon. I know what Floyd's been doing and LLB. Mm-hmm. They've just been holding him back slightly, but now he'll spark Loma if the fight's ever made. Now, look, you made a lot of good points. Now, I don't want to repeat what you said about Fury and Wilder, but my view is quite simple. When they fought the first time, I predicted Fury was going to win. Mm-hmm. I predicted Fury would beat
Klitschko, maybe.
I saw in the first fight. Mm. I saw enough in the first fight, and I don't even think Fury was at his best. Mm. It'll be, and I'll tell you what, going to the Kronk, the old school with Sugar Hill, the good old Kronk gym, he's going to knock out. I told you. I knew why he did that. Mm. They're going to knock.
What? You don't even you can't even respect him, Uncle, man. You're forgetting his name.
you know the guy. You know, I think he's in Fury is in Wilder's head.
Mm. Yeah, 100.
You know,
big mind.
Because he didn't win.
The only criticism I had of the first fight, which I had of Ben Davidson, is that Fury wasn't sitting down on his punches. Mm-hmm. And it was a criticism of Freddie Roach, who was in the corner, because Freddie Roach felt, and I felt as well, that they should have knocked out Wilder.
So when he criticised Ben Davidson as well.
They were so dominant outboxing him, but they didn't put a hurt on him. Mm. So this time, we're going to put a hurt on him. And like I said, look, Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, the lineal heavyweight champion, and will become the two-time Ring Magazine and WBC heavyweight champion of the world.
Wow.
You know, statement. I have no doubt about it. I like your boy, the Scottish boy, Josh Taylor.
Yeah.
I've been hyping him for a long while. You know, he reminds me of a boxer I was involved with who unfortunately won everything available to him, but just fell at the final hurdle when he didn't win the WBC interim belt. Adjose Olusegun.
Yeah.
You know, he fights with electricity. Mm. I've always liked him. I like good amateurs, you know. And, you know, yes, he's done well with Shane McGuigan, but you know what? I mean, I think he's too big for Cyclone now. He needs to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And if Shane would train him, then go with another trainer, you know. I mean, as a boxing manager, trainer or coach, you would love to get your hands on the Josh Taylor.
Yeah.
And also, Josh Taylor is going to need something extra because he's at a level now where it's only really big fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he will unify the title. But then, on the you have people like Teofimo Lopez who might move up. You have people like Tank Davis. I know they've had some chit chat on Twitter or whatever. Got a little special too.
And Crawford, so, Crawford's on the same side of the street.
Yeah, and Crawford exactly. So you're going to need special tools to deal with some of these guys. So, but I think he's a really good fighter.
Yeah,
I have a lot of for him. And then also Errol Spence and I mean, can I ask you? Tim Bradley, has the guy started smoking drugs or something?
Who?
Tim Bradley.
Maybe.
Yeah. Go.
Something's up with him.
Yeah. He's not all there.
It seems as if he's an advocate for Terence Crawford.
So before you finish, so him and Crawford, they are very close. When Crawford was coming up through the ranks, he used to do a lot of sparring with Bradley. He was in his camp. So Bradley's kind of taken to him like a younger brother. But that's why some of the statements he makes are very outlandish. Like he's even said that Crawford beats a prime Mayweather. So yeah, I agree with you. Is he smoking?
Look, you're my nephew, yeah. Mm. But when you box, you know, I mean, I'm not a cheerleader in the corner, am I?
No. He's not.
For real.
Predictions are quite accurate, actually. I remember back in Kelbrook and Spence, and I was still on the Brook wave since I watched him fight Porter. Yeah. He was saying about how he won and he's going to win.
Yeah. So, Uncle, question for you. What are you looking forward to, but what would you like to see happen in 2020 within the world of boxing if you were the decision maker? Realistic or slightly unrealistic? Hello.
Oh, sorry. I put my phone on mute. Can you hear me now?
It's you.
Yeah, we hear you. Yeah.
Big Unks.
Sorry, apologies. Realistically, all things being equal, I know they're mandatory and all the contractual commitments, but what I want is that then Joshua still has all his titles. The winner of Fury and Wilder.
Yeah.
Marvels in November, December, because realistically, that's when I think it could happen, end of the year. Yeah. At the MGM Grand, the Grand Garden Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will definitely go back to Las Vegas. I used to go when Floyd fought to watch that fight. And I believe, and I'm, in fact, can you imagine? Two British fighters.
Big for British boxing. That's what I said.
And AJ.
No, that's what I said.
In Las Vegas.
The golden eras are back.
All the marbles.
Yeah. I mean, it
won't be done in Vegas, though.
Yeah, and, that's what I was going to say, yeah. But carry on.
And well, I think, you know, Wembley brings in a lot of money for AJ. Mm. But I think Vegas even has more money. Because you could do a live gig, just a live gig of close to $100 million.
Yeah.
Just not to talk about the pay-per-view. Mm. And you see, this is the problem. You know, I do not think that Fury and Wilder is even going to do 600,000 buys. $2 million buys. If they do up to 600,000, I think that's the result.
Big result.
I think they're going to do more. I'm saying, I think they're going to do...
All right, do you want to do £20 on it?
Yeah, okay.
Let's put £20. £20. All right, you see it here, £20.
Everyone's watching that, £20.
£20, but we've got to get
them... I'm saying they're going to do more than 600. Uncle, you put your nephew in trouble. You know, bring Wahala for your nephew.
You know what? I'm going to cover that bit.
Oh yeah, family, man.
Sponsor. Okay.
No, this has not been... look at this. Yeah. It's how many weeks? We've got about a month to the fact. It's not been a big promotion. Now, I part of it may be a strategic thing from Tim Wilder.
Yes.
As in Al Haymon, they don't want Fury around Wilder because I think Fury gets into Wilder's head.
Yes.
But if this was going to be a big promotion, they'd have come to London, gone all over the place, even gone to Mexico, you know? But, I mean, what is this? We've only had one press conference.
Yeah.
And you see, the thing about it is, you need the non we're boxing addicts, all of us.
Yes.
Yeah. But you need people other than us. You know, you need the wife needs to know about it.
Yes.
The bloke down the road should be talking about it. And I just don't think.
No, I hear you. I definitely hear you. And I think it's that whole slow sort of like, it just feels everything slow. I mean, I still can't believe it's about less than 5 weeks away, to be fair.
Promotion?
Yeah, I look forward to that. And Uncle, you're covering your nephew's bet. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm good to see. I'm glad to see you supporting the family. But listen, Uncle, we're going to move.
I don't think we have anything to do. I'm confident it's not going to do the numbers.
Yeah.
I'll wait. I mean, if it did do the numbers, I would gladly pay the bet. But I just think that a fight of this magnitude should be bigger in terms of promotion. And I just 100%. Don't, you know, I have a feel for these things. I'm not... See, I mean, look, Joshua went to Saudi Arabia for crying out loud. And so Briggs went.
Yeah.
And he did, what was it, 1.6 million pay-per-view buys?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's good for the UK. But it's not easy to get that kind of number. I do think we can't balk at that. What I would say, Uncle, as well, I think with the Wilder Fury, and that's why I think they're going to do a lot, because I think you've got to look at it. A lot of fans may not even end up travelling, but a lot of people are aware of this fight, even in the UK. So I think the UK pay-per-view, they're going to cover that. And I think in the States, I think the fact is on ESPN, the WWE, they've been promoting it.
We better be careful on our bet. Because I assume we're talking about the US pay-per-view.
Yes. Oh, no, we have to include the US pay-per-view. Sorry, that's what I would have meant more.
I don't think it does that.
But to be honest, no, I think the US pay-per-view is the key.
Yes, of course.
You know, I mean, they did 350,000 last time. I think they're going to struggle to do 600,000 in the US.
We've got £20. You
know, I think the UK will do a respectable... At least 500,000, I would say.
Yeah. So listen, Uncle.
But that's because of you.
But we've got to move to the next caller. But listen, appreciate your call as always. Uncle. Happy New Year.
Speak to you later.
Great for the support, and I'll definitely speak to you soon.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
Cheers. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Going out to 348. Yo, I just remember this. Mr. Lyons, Tom Lyons, how you doing, young lion?
Happy New Year.
Happy
mate.
New Year, bro. You all right?
Happy New Year to you both as well. I'm good.
Good, man. You got that shit. You got that golden 6 minutes, man. I know you got a lot on your mind. What's going on?
Sure, man.
I'm going to go for the full whammy, the full 6 minutes. Just firstly, it's good to see you guys back running the podcast again. And it's going to be another stacked year of boxing, hopefully. So.
Exactly. Waiting for you to come and get back on the hot seat, bro. But yeah, we'll speak about that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Waiting for you.
Definitely. But yeah, no, just to pick up from where you left off with Wilder and Fury, I just think now that we can be excited for it on the February 22nd. You know, they've met now. Since the last kind of cycle of media commitments and stuff like that, they've got to see each other again. And I think Wilder looks a lot more relaxed this time. He doesn't look like he's engaging as much in terms of like the talk. I think he looks a lot more composed. And I think, in a way, I think this time round, Wilder, when he speaks, it seems to manifest, you know, and we can believe what he's going to say. And I just think that he is slightly a favourite in this fight. I don't think Fury, he's talking about how he's going to engage early on and he's going to get Wilder out of there in two rounds, but realistically I don't think that's going to happen. I think if anything it's going to be a Wilder early knockout if he does catch Fury. But I think is Fury going to get a decision out in America when, you know, he won 11 of 12 rounds the last time and it proved that it wasn't enough and that he wasn't going to get a decision. So I think Fury's just going to have to step on the gas a bit, but does he have the power to trouble Wilder and sustain that punishment? I don't think so. So
So I'm saying it's down to his S&C. It's down to his strength and conditioning now. It's not down to the ability, because we all know he's got the ability. It's down to seeing if he's really got the nutritional and the right team around him to be able to deliver that.
Yeah. And I think going back to your point, Tom, and obviously we're going to let you continue, but I think you're right in, and this is what I was saying to somebody, I worry for free, but I always kind of get a red flag when I see fighters make unrealistic predictions. And when I heard him say, listen, 2 rounds, I was like, come on. Like, you're going to have to go all out to fight Wilder and knock him out in 2 rounds.
Better test him if he does that in 2 rounds.
But my thing is, there's going to be something coming back at you. 100%. If you're going to steam Wilder to try and knock him out in two rounds, something's coming back at you. But sorry, Tom, we hijacked your call. Back to you.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see where Fury's mind is at for this fight, because he's going to have to go through the same process of a grueling camp. He's had a switch of setup. Now he's working with Andy Lee. He's working with other guys behind the scenes. So this is all. If we accumulate all these different things, you know, what way is his mind going to be in for this fight? Knowing how dangerous Wilder is over a 12-round fight, any time he lands that big right hand, it's danger. It's danger for any heavyweight on the planet. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's still a tough fight to call. I'm still undecided, but I think, like I said in the last time we spoke before Christmas, I was leaning towards Wilder. I just think that he's going to deliver on what he says, and I think he's kind of, in a way, he knows that Fury's herky-jerky, you know, unorthodox style. He knows how to deal with that now, and he knows how to be a lot more patient and setting up his shots. So it's gonna be an interesting fight, and I can expect a knockout. I don't think it's gonna go the distance.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And how else did you find the boxing over, I'd say, the last few weeks? The Josh Taylor news, Dillian White's comments, Spence versus Crawford. Yeah. What else has grabbed your attention?
Yeah, the Josh Taylor deal is a good one. I think with Josh Taylor, you know, he's had such a well put together career so far. You know, he's had the high profile fights with, you know, at the start of his career, the postals, you know, really breaking onto that world scene, and then with the World Boxing Super Series coming through that, and, you know, proving himself as the best 140 pounder. Now he signed a deal across in the States. It's another avenue to go down, more exposure. Really make himself as a pay-per-view star in America, and really, you know, build a new audience. You know, Ramirez is signed with Top Rank, so that's obviously a unification they're going to target. And then why not? The Crawford fights seems to be something that they're looking to set up. So who knows what 2020 has to hold, but it looks like it's going to be a promising year for Josh Taylor.
Yeah, definitely. And the right move going to Top Rank, in your opinion?
100%. I think you've got to take risks. People are going to say, "Oh, well, you know, what was wrong with what he was doing, you know, on UK soil." But I just think you've got to step out of your comfort zone sometimes. And why not do it earlier in your career than expected? You know, he could have waited another 2, 3, 4 years to move to America, but then those big fights might have slipped away. So, you know, while he's in his prime, while he's, you know, firing in all cylinders, why not take the leap to push for these big fights, these big, you know, fights in America. Good luck to him.
Yeah, no, definitely.
For sure, man.
So, Tom, question for you. 2020, and I asked this to Uncle Benga earlier, expectations, realistic, maybe slightly unrealistic. What would you like to see happen in 2020 in the world of boxing?
I just want to see the UK side of things really grow, and I want to see, you know, I mean, I'm intrigued by Mikey Garcia's signing with, you know, Matchroom. That Vargas fight seems to be a well matched fight. And I think just, I want to see, like, you know, more guys coming through with, like, the MTK stuff, you know, more 50-50 fights. I think that's what everyone wants to see, is the real 50-50 fights come earlier than expected, you know, and just for fighters to take risks and just to really, you know, propel themselves onto the big British, you know, title fights, European and world stage, just to see more competition, guys close the gap from, you know, those kind of jumps from British to European, and just make it more competitive. Like, we've seen with Coley, he's gone up in, what, 13 fights. He's already on knocking on the door of a world title. So we want to see guys replicate that kind of, you know, and make it
more competitive.
No, I totally agree with you, Tom. But I ask you this. Do you think to become undefeated and the Kawasaki and the Mayweather effect will be what's a myth now? And
generally.
Yeah, generally in the sport of boxing now.
I just think that Mayweather, at the time, he knew how to navigate around and get the good fights and the respectable names. And I think he believed in his ability, and he was too good for these guys, his style and stuff. And I just think now everything's really aligned with like the business side of things, how to entertain, you know. And I think all these fighters, they're realizing that, and they're realizing that they have to take risks to perform and to entertain, to really build them a fan base and build themselves a name, if I'm being brutally honest. And I think that's why more fighters are going to the States, because they know that there is, you know, those benchmark fights that if you beat a certain guy that's maybe ranked, you know, in the top 10, top 15, and he's unbeaten, and he's got that contingency in America, and it's a British fighter in particular, then you're going to build yourself a massive reputation, you know, moving forward. And once you win fights, you can't really look back. You've got to kind of take the next logical but progressive step to wanting to achieve your ultimate goal, which, I mean, for most fighters, you'd think would be a world champion, because, I mean, boxing's a tough sport as it is. So yeah. You want to go for the juggler, and you want to push yourself to the limits.
Yeah, definitely.
And a question for you on that, actually, because you're saying push yourself to the limits. A fight that's kind of being mooted, they're talking about it from a negotiation standpoint. I definitely think it's going to raise the level of both guys. I'm not really sure who's at the moment, but Daniel Dubois versus Joy Joyce. We saw the back end of last year, Dubois got his win. Now that's rumoured to be heavily kind of like happening. What's your thoughts on Dubois versus Joy Joyce? Too soon, right time, and will it affect any of their careers negatively?
I think Dubois wins that fight. I think he's, you know, a little bit more agile than Joyce. I think Joyce, nothing against
Sam's
nothing
agreeing
against Joyce,
with you.
Know,
I'm agreeing but disagreeing.
I'm not,
but go
I'm
on.
Not getting anyone out or anything.
Yeah.
No, but it's a good fight. It's been talked about, and if it materializes, then it's going to be a 50-50. But I favour Dubois. I think he's improving, and he's. He just looks like a fresher fighter each time he goes out there. Besides obviously the Kevin Johnson fight, which was the one that he got taken the distance. Mm. Every fight since that, he's been, you know, wiping away guys, and they're not being the most talked about, and you know, expected to give Dubois a stern test. But I just think Dubois got that youth, and he's just got that excitement that people want to see him be the next AJ. They want him to, you know, take risky fights, but just because he's got the power, and he's got dynamite in both hands, you know, you want to see this fight. But yeah, I'd have to favour Dubois if I'm being honest. I think now Dubois, he's carrying a bit of momentum, and let's just see what 2020 has to offer.
No, I agree with you, but do you think that you're agreeing with Dubois and seeing Dubois, because you've seen Dubois a bit more active than Joyce? Because Joyce, the way I see Joyce is, I see the fight breaking down two ways. One way being, you know, Dubois pummels him, or that, you know, he doesn't lose because he's not capable, but I think he loses because of intimidation of someone like a Joe Joyce, who should have been a gold medalist, but a silver medalist. Someone who's very experienced, spar with a number of different people in camp, and has really got that mature vibe out, because he's 30, what, 33, 32, 33? He's quite old. So how's the boy going to hack it with him? That's my question to you. How does he beat him in that way?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, a lot of it's going to be about the buzz and the hype behind Dubois. And I think Joyce, if I was to match both of them in terms of power, I think Joyce probably carries a bit more power. But I just think that Dubois is a bit lighter on his feet, and I think he'll show a different side to his boxing IQ that will give Joyce some problems. We saw in the amateurs, with like Usyk giving you know, Joyce problems. I'm not saying that Dubois is any like a carbon copy of Usyk, because he's not. They're two different heavyweights, two different styles. But I just think a bit of movement and a bit more. I just think Dubois got just that bit more, you know, agility than Joyce, and I'd have to swing towards to him on that basis.
Okay, no, I hear you on that. So listen, Tom, thank you for the call. We're gonna move on to the next couple of callers before the show ends. But like I said, thank you for calling in, and look forward to speaking to you soon, bro.
Yeah, you too, definitely. Nice to hear from you guys.
Definitely, man. Take care. Speak soon.
See you later.
Mr. 985, Mr. Appiah, What's going on, bro?
Yes.
How you doing, sir?
How we doing, my brothers? How we doing?
We're good. We're good. Yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How's what's on your mind? We're talking about Wilder versus Fury, but we're reliving the last 12 months as well. So yeah, hopefully your background noise ain't too mad. But yeah, what's on your mind, bro?
For Fury versus Wilder, I can only see one winner there. And that is going to be Deontay Wilder.
Okay.
I know exactly how the fight's going to pan out. And I think,
tell us, bro.
I can see obviously Fury winning a lot of the rounds. Mm-hmm. And then I would say in the ninth round he gets knocked out. This time I think Deontay Wilder will finish off the business this time, and it will be conclusive. Mm-hmm. And Deontay Wilder will win.
Nice.
Knockout, ninth round. Good night, Fury.
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder, winner.
Yeah. Question, very conclusive. So I know I'm asking this comment, even though you've said obviously Wilder can win. Do you think, though, it's possible for Fury to knock Wilder out in two rounds? He said that's what he's looking to do. He's looking to sit down on his shots, working with the Kronk gym, old school power. Do you think he can knock Wilder out in two rounds?
Tyson Fury is a very, very talented fighter, but no, he can't knock Deontay Wilder out in two rounds. No way. And I think that's just talk. We all know that's not his style to come out like that. That's just not his style. Mm. We all know that. It's all mind games, which he loves.
No,
and he will not be coming out to knock out Deontay Wilder. He will not be coming out in the first two rounds. No, there's absolutely no... That's not his style at all.
No, I get that. What change do you think? I agree with what you're saying as well, but what change do you think and adaptations that Wilder will need to have in order to be successful? Or do you think it's the same formula?
Just wait for his moment. Just wait for his moment. That's all he's got to do.
Mr. Appy, I don't agree with you there for once. I don't agree with you, mate.
Some stage, he's going to... You know what? It's just that little split second, that little concentration.
Yeah.
As the fight gets later on, Fury will be like loving himself, and he'll just switch off for that split second. And that's all a man like Deontay Wilder needs.
No, I get
split
that, but
seconds, all he needs.
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, you got to understand, we have an unfit Fury, a Fury who's mentally challenged, but for all that, who, you know, stepping in the ring in the Staples Center.
Let me bring my violin.
No, but you got to understand, he wasn't in the right physical state, man.
He was.
Look at him, he wasn't. Look at him now. He's going to be so much sharper. He's going to have a better coach behind him. He's going to have a better show. Yeah. He's going to have more experience. He's going to be fitter, more in the boxing world, more ring craftsmanship.
And that's why I say
he's
this.
Not going to be rusty. He's going to build him out. If anything, he knocks him out in the final round. I don't think he knocks him out in the ninth, because I think
he's saying Wilder knocks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said if he's going to, it's going to be the fight. I don't think it'll be early on. I think Fury's going to be too much. He's going to keep getting up.
I mean, I would say, look,
he's going to keep getting up. Look,
I'm not going to hijack your call, Daniel, but I would say for me, I'll say, look,
when
it comes to Wilder, I think it could be first, it could be last. I don't think it matters.
But he gets up.
I would say
he gets up.
No, I can't say it. I would say this, and Daniel, I'm going to let you go back. I'll just quickly say that I think there's reasons why Wilder can win, because I think you've got to look at the energy, number one, like your uncle said, getting in his head, so that's going to help him, confidence.
Yeah.
I think number two as well, the weight. I think a lot of people are underplaying that he came in at around 209 pounds. He's not even far off a cruiserweight compared to a heavyweight, so I think that could play in his favour. But, Daniel, we're not going to go back and forth.
Yeah,
we're going to hijack your call. you're saying Wilder with a knockout.
Ninth round I'm going for.
All right, we're closer to the
ninth
side.
Round.
When we do the show for that fight prediction, I'll make sure that you're calling again, and then we'll have a note of that. But I've made a little mention note, ninth round.
Yeah, okay, no problem. One more thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Kell Brook. I saw an interview with him the other day.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what you guys think, where he what 2020 holds for him. Has he got a lot left in him, or... What do you think?
For me, because I used to be... Oh, I still am. I'm quite a big Kell Brook fan.
He was a chocolate brownie.
No. All what he used to say, where I was like, what the hell is a chocolate brownie? But, for me, looking at Brook, I see him as it's the last chance to learn. It's the last time for him to build up cash. And he's very good friends with the Hearns and very friendly relationship with them. So I think they're just going to try and build him up to get as much cash. And if the Khan fight happens, it happens. Mm. I think this year is the only fight and the only time that the Khan fight happens, because their ambitions would be so different. I don't think they'll have any synergy to align themselves to get into the ring and fight. And I think the fans are getting put off the fight because of the amount of...
You're cutting out a little bit.
Sorry, mate. The amount of times that, you know, they've kind of flirted with the idea of the fight and never actually followed through. I think fans are just sick of it. So I think this year is the final time it'll happen. I think it's the only time Amir Khan will get that kind of money for a fight in Kel. If it's easy work, he'll be able to take it with his own money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's the only time the fight will happen. But he needs to win this next fight that he's fighting in.
Mark DeLuca in February.
I think he will. I think it's a fifth, sixth round knockout or stoppage. And then that will really entice Khan to really try and take the fight from him. What, Khan's in his, 32, 33? He's getting old. Like, it's ticking over. And I think once Khan beats him, if Khan beats him, or if Brooke beats him, they retire either way. And they're very happy guys. And they come together and they do the Sky Sports thing and become friends. So, you know, it's the last year for Kell Brook, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
What's your thoughts?
Okay. Fair enough. You know, it's... I don't know. I just saw him do an interview and I thought, what's left in boxing for him, really? He's still chasing Amir Khan. And for me, like, I'm not really keen on fighters chasing fighters that don't want it. I just think it's like a bully boy thing. I don't really rate that too tough. But anyway, it is what it is.
So just a quick one. If that fight was to happen this year, Khan versus Brook, who wins?
I've changed my mind so many times, Codger. At first, then it was Khan. Then I went back to... Now I'm back with Brook. But I think that people think that Brook's just going to go in there and knock him out. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it'd be a good fight. It'd be a good British dust-up, you know, on an undercard somewhere, maybe. Definitely. So, right. Yeah, but I'd have to go with Brook for now.
Oh, perfect, man. So listen, Daniel, thank you again for all the support and the calls. Happy New Year. I'm going to let you go and move to the next caller, but thank you again, bro.
Thanks, brother.
No problem. Take care.
Take care. Cheers. Going out to 041-041. What up? The floor is yours.
What up, guys? 2020, man. Happy New Year, guys.
Is that Willie Obeng?
Yeah, man. Yes. William, my brother.
He's turned Brazilian in this decade.
Portugal.
Dudu Beng. How you doing, brother?
You better.
What's on your mind?
Yo, guys, listen, first of all, man, I missed your punk asses, man. You know why? Because... No way, I don't get time to listen to boxing and follow boxing all that much all the time, my brother.
Yeah.
But I'm just into your... I'm phoning a little bit late, man. But just listening from Tom, word up. Yo, yes. Big time info data. Listen, this is all I need. I come over here, I get my roundup of boxing straight up, man.
Respect.
No long take.
Respect, bro.
You understand? Big up, man. I miss you guys, man.
Yeah, we miss you too, man. This year's the year, man. We're going to do more consistency. So, yeah, more
for
shows.
For real, man. See me more in content. 2020 vision, you know?
Exactly.
listen. Mm. But anyway, I've got a couple of quick questions for you guys, right? So everybody knows Wilder's got a big punch, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, just follow me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all everybody who says Wilder is going to win, that's all they're talking about. The big punch, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to fight Wilder, they need to be aware of that big punch.
Mm-hmm.
And then come with their own ammo, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So... My man Fury has already tasted that big punch. You think he's going to be putting his face out there to collect that big punch again? No. I'll answer that one for you. Listen.
Thank you.
Can Wilder dance?
No.
No. Not like Fury.
His stance is very...
He said he don't.
I haven't mentioned Fury. I'm just asking questions, man. Can Wilder dance or not, man?
No.
With all... gold chains and everything, as a black man, the man even can't dance, my brother. Right?
No, you're taking it too. He can't dance in the ring.
Yeah. Then about yeah.
And now he's got the great white hope right?
Yeah.
Showing him off, because what's going to happen is, don't tell me that Fury don't have a punch, my brother. And now Fury is clunking up for the more power punch, my brother.
So you think he's hitting him in the second round?
Stop, my brother.
So you think the second round's Fury's?
Sorry?
You think Fury's winning in the second two rounds, inside two rounds?
Listen, what did the man say to you? You need to listen to the words, my brother, right? The man said he was dreaming. It's only a dream, bro. don't write on that. Don't write on that. He said, I was dreaming. I fell two. Listen, guys, man, let's cut down
to
the real
to the press
shit.
But he's a man of God, though, man. Yeah. He's a man
no,
of God.
I like what you say, because he's talking about the long...
Forget the words. Yeah. Listen, if you want to listen to words, if you want to talk about the words, right, just listen to the words that Wilder said, right? I was expecting Wilder to come out banging. Wilder was like a tamed animal out there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. There was nothing.
The press conference was weak, though. The press conference was weak.
You understand? Yeah. Wilder looked weak, my brother, and he knows that Fury has always got him in his pants. Wilder's going to come out. Fury has got the power now, and he's going to dance. Listen, enough said, man. I don't want to get into that because so many people have got so many opinions and everything. Mm. Let's cut that. But I'm cutting to the chase. Yes, Fury is going to win it. Mm-hmm. That's all. He can dance, he can box, and definitely Wilder is going to feel that punch. I can't say where it's going to go and everything, but it's going to be a great fight. I wish I was there. But then my opinion is, listen, it's written in the stars, brother. 2020 is going to be the biggest for UK, United Kingdom. You heard it here first. A raps on TV. Wilder is going to win it. There's going to be a unification bout at Wembley. Nobody's going to see that sellout coming out. It's going to be the biggest fight ever in history.
I love that.
So you said Wilder, but I know you meant Fury.
I'm not seeing through. Wilder is going to fucking win it. And
no,
I'm
you
telling
mean Fury.
You one thing for sure.
Are you saying Fury,
Fury
or Wilder?
Is going to fucking win it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you one thing for sure, right? Mm-hmm. As much as I want AJ to become the king of the world, we are going to be ruled by that gypsy king from the Wembley Stadium. 2020, they're going to announce it.
I don't know. What country are you from, brother? What country?
Christmas time, 2020. Please, I'm out.
Hey, what country?
Has he gone? He's gone. Well,
he's definitely from your country, man. Nigerians don't talk like that.
I'm even saying that. You know what? That's the energy we need, though. We need the callers to come in and, you know, I'm going to be making clips of all the calls. But yeah, that's the kind of energy we need. Callers to come in, say their piece, and drop. I think he might be back. I don't know if he dropped the mic on the one. Williamo, you back?
Yeah, man, I'm back, man. I got my energy back, man.
So back. Answer the all-important question. Which country are you from?
Me? Man, I'm from the motherland, man. Africa. That's good enough, yo.
All right,
I flex all up.
Okay, all right, all good.
But what I would say is, though, but in terms of the what you're saying, so you feel that Fury can win and you think that sets up a huge clash with Joshua and Fury in this year?
TV exclusive. Can you not see the figures? When Fury wins and there's going to be a unification bout, don't forget that AJ could see it in the fucking star. AJ is trembling already. That's why AJ offered to go and spar with Fury. He needs to see what's up because he knows what's coming. And this time it's not going to be Wembley. It's not going to be Cardiff or Las Vegas. We are bringing the boxing show to Wembley. Anybody who wants to get the belt, they have to come to Wembley. Listen, UK is going to party, yo. Forget about the fighters going to America and all that kind of shit. The tide turns once in a fucking while. The tide has turned for Liverpool with VA fucking R. The tide is going to turn for the USA.
But would you...
The Gypsy King, like it or not, he's going to be ruling the world from Wembley, UK.
Okay. I hear that. And what else is on your mind? We move off from the Wilder Fury. Anything else on your mind? Took your thoughts on boxing last year, this year?
Man, at the moment, I'm all pumped up, man. I'm all pumped up.
That's where the energy is.
Yeah, man. My energy is all about this business going on. I heard somebody talk about Kell Brook and all that kind of stuff, man. I mean, who wants to watch all those stuff? 2020, man. We're looking forward. There are young guns coming through. All these old whacked out boxers wanting a loud payday and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to know them. We don't want to know them, man. 2020 is about internet online numbers going up and all that kind of stuff. You see Amazon muscling on the soccer side. You see a whole lot of millionaires and rap on TV getting some sponsorship, and we're going to be going online, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
No, real fight box. I don't want to see the old guys. It's all about the new kids on the block coming through. Your colleagues and stuff, man.
No,
for real. So listen, William, we're going to thank you. We're going to make...
William.
I'm going to try my brother, man. My Portuguese is not so good. But listen, thanks for calling in. Happy New Year as always. Yeah. Definitely looking forward
to... Yes, brother, looking
forward
to...
We've got your prediction noted. Sorry, last one.
I said next week, I'm here.
Perfect.
I'm listening.
Looking forward.
Respect for that, respect. So listen, take care and thank you again, man. Thank you, bro. Cheers. Man, that's what I like. Callers that full kind of energy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We need that more and more. Guys, make sure you're watching. Make sure you're tuning in and dialing in. Before we go, we'll say that there is some boxing taking place this weekend. PBC Showdown in Philadelphia. Julian Williams is defending his 154 titles in the WBC and the IBF, I believe, against a Puerto Rican guy, Rosario. So should be a good fight. Actually, for all boxing fans, great news for us. A lot of the big fights have been taking place. We don't get to watch them, but Box Nation have now signed a deal with Premier Sports. So we're going to get to see a lot of big fights now on our TVs as opposed to the streams. So last weekend, we had the Clarissa Shields versus Avina Habson.
Big up great female fight. Power, man.
Big up Clarissa Shields. That's my girl. That's my dog. But yeah, that's my girl from day. She smashed it, unifying, winning belts in multiple divisions.
10 bouts, people.
But key thing got to say is, guys, for all of you that are listening, for all of you that are calling in, please share this show with your friends that like boxing. We need to get more boxing fans engaged with the show. And we really need to make sure that 2020 is the year that Raps on TV blows through the charts.
100%, man. Keep it watching. Keep it
locked. All of that. We're going back to the all of that. And we're going to be signing out, but social media, Raps on TV, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, all of the above, Raps on TV. So we are out, people.
Come on.
Last word from Mr. Sam.
Listen, look forward to 2020. We've got a lot of big stuff coming, a lot of big guests coming in, and, you know, more, some you wouldn't even imagine. So
yeah.
Stay locked in, people. And thank you all for your Facebook comments, likes, subscribes, and support. We're going places. That. Thank you.
Big up. Bless up.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.